Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Cross Fellowship Shelter Church, congregation on the top of 12th Hour, New York, Texas. Today is July 24, 2017, and it's April 2, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song and its title, Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deep is stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water lifted me, now safe and high. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, even to Him all pain. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best song. Faithful love in service to Him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Yahshua completely saved. Even if by His love, out of the angry way. He's the master of the sea, knows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me.
Prophecies of the Daniel and Revelation, this is part 10. Seven Rod, Volume 2, page 157. As previously explained, the false prophet is not the papacy or the two-horned beast. Neither is he the devil, for we read, and the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Revelation 20, verse 10. Well, I have a comment to make here on the false prophet. Now, I have personally met, and I was a co-laborer with the true prophet, and he ended up losing his ministry and losing his kingdom in the end. So, it wasn't because he didn't know and had to know the truth. He had and knew the truth all the way, from beginning to his end. But he made a fatal mistake by not overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil in his own personal life. And so consequently, he couldn't instruct others and lead them in the way of righteousness to be sanctified, purified, made white when the judgment began as the house of Yahweh. So consequently, this person would have to be labeled as a false prophet. Now keep in mind that false prophets, a true false prophet starts out as a true prophet. They know the truth. That the only way they can become a false prophet is they first have to know the truth and accept it and embrace it. That's the only way they can become a false prophet. Now, I know there's a lot of prophets that come up out there that are false prophets that have never known the truth, but they weren't preordained by prophecy either. They just sent themselves. The Bible talks about this in Jeremiah 23. It says, they sent themselves. I didn't send them. But those that he sent are the ones we're talking about. Yahweh sent Verlis W. Johnson, 1970. He sent him. And he gave him a true message, and he restored the sanctuary, and he taught it. He taught it for 7 years that I know, as far as I'm concerned. I was with him from 70 to 77. He taught it for 7 years. Faithfully. But after that, he began to fall apart on other prophetic issues. And the end, his kingdom came to an end. It was planed off. And he didn't come through the first judgment at the house of Yahweh when it started for the judgment of the living, 2002, 2003. He had a whole year. Brother Johnson was given a whole year from Passover of 2002, 2003 to repent and come into the kingdom. Just a few days before that year was up, I had a personal conversation with him. Invited him to come on in, and he says, give me 30 minutes to talk it over with my wife, and I'll call you back. And he called back, and he said, well, I just can't do it. He said, I just can't do it. He said, I'd have to deny everything that I'd ever stood for the last 32 years. He said, I can't do it. Or 33 years. And so, I do know that I personally knew a false prophet. Now, the Bible talks about this beast and the false prophet. But how many people in the world today, out of the millions and billions of people in the world, how many of them can come forward and say, I have met and know a true false prophet? I'm talking about a prophet that Yahweh has sent by prophecy. I'm not talking about these millions of false prophets out there. And there are plenty of them, but they weren't sent. And I've said before that Obama is a false prophet. Well, he is definitely a false prophet, but is he this false prophet right here that we're talking about? Let's continue on reading now. It says, therefore, the false prophet is the one who shall precede the manifestation of Satan himself, said the apostle. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Second Corinthians 11:14. As the doctrines held by the false prophet cannot be fully supported by the scriptures, miracles are performed to secure the confidence of the people. As the great men and religious leaders declared unto the public that the so-called true religion is the truth of the Yeshua, and that the false prophet is his servant. Multitudes will fall into the Satan's snares, his false prediction of the coming of the Yeshua will be fulfilled by the Satan himself as he appears as an angel of light. his dazzling brightness and the false fulfillment of the prophet's prediction, in addition unto the already overwhelming delusion, will ensnare a multitude greater than the first. While appearing unto the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he will bring disease and disaster will until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. The Great Controversy, page 589. The woman sitting on the heads, said the angel, the seven heads and seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, Revelation 17:9. It has been previously explained that the heads represent the present-day apostate Christendom. See pages 88 and 96. They are called mountains, denominations, seven in number, meaning all. As the prostitute sits on all seven, the symbol with unmistakable evidence reveals that so-called Christendom will submit itself to be governed by one head of which the woman is a symbol. See the Great Controversy, page 588. Preliminary to that miracle, working power, Protestantism, Catholicism, and spiritualism will have grasped each other's hand by means of a church federation. The difference of opinion in the doctrinal points will be considered of no vital importance unto salvation. They will see in that apparently innocent union a great movement for the settlement of the differences as well as for the conversion of the world. At the appearance of the false prophet and of Satan himself, their expectations would be realized, and the ushering in of the long-expected millennial time of peace shall be proclaimed to be at hand. Thus, on the surface, it will bear evidence that the world's crises are about to end. But as Yahweh's people have been warned of it all, they refuse to worship the image of the beast, which is a false international religion, and will be charged as rebellious disturbers of the peace and troublemakers. This will bring the great persecution of Revelation 12:17. Unto them it will be said, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? As the saints answer them in the manner of the prophet Elijah, Nay, but in that ye have forsaken the commandment of Yahweh, and thou hast followed Balaam, it will incur the displeasure of the wicked and cause them to enrage against the innocent. The woman sitting on the beast. While the Revelator saw in vision the beast who bears the number 666 and the false prophet enforcing a false religion by the law and miracles within the borders of the government represented by the two-horned beast, he was shown another interesting sight. Well, now, okay, it says, the beast who bears the number would be the two-horned beast, which represents the United States government. So, and it's the number of a man. And the only president we've ever had that enforced a bill before Congress forcing everybody to take it, to take this health care and have to take a number and making legislation that they have to, everyone has to buy it. They don't have any choice. So that would right there come close to representing the beast and the false prophet. The beast is the United States government, and the man that's enforcing its laws would be Obama, Barack Obama, and I've said this before. So, in this prophecy, it may very well be that we have witnessed the beast and the false prophet working together. Let's continue. And I saw, he says, a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in the purple and scarlet color, and decked with the gold and precious stone and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Revelation 17:3-4. This symbol reveals that after the woman has sat on the heads, united the churches, she also succeeded to sit on the beast. The beast is a symbol of the entire present world. Okay, now, we just identified this two-horned beast as having this number 666. The two-horned beast is the United States. So, the beast then is a symbol of the entire present world, with its headquarters at Washington, D.C., and the United States of America. That's the part V.T. Hart did not know. The beast is a symbol of the entire present world, both civil, ten horns. The ten horns represents that the beast has got his power and influence over all the nations of the world, including Israel. So the whole world wonders after the beast. And religious seven heads, as a woman sitting on the heads, denotes union of churches. Just so sitting on the beast represents internationally the church and the state governed by the same head woman. Okay, so the woman sits on all the churches here in the United States. That's when she sits on the heads alone. But when she transfers to the beast, then she transfers those seven heads as well to the head of that beast. That's a symbol of the world government, in charge of all governments. Therefore, an international system of religion and a combination of church and state. So, your church and state has its inception and beginning here in the United States. But until that woman rides the beast, it cannot be church and state all over the world. It can only be church and state when she's sitting upon the seven heads alone. Here, that represents all the churches in the United States, not the world. And then when she sits on the beast, it represents all the churches of the world, and that's when you have church and state worldwide. But when she sits upon the head, the seven heads, and rules from there, then it represents church and state in the United States alone. But when she transferred to the beast, it means universal. In such a system, the great man of the earth will see a vision of settling the troubles of the world, welding the people and the nations into a worldwide brotherhood, fulfilling by a medium of religion. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape, though their intention is to reduce crime as well as wars, their hope will be in vain. Okay, the cup, jewels, and the loud colors. The cup, jewels, and the loud colors. Once again, it says that the cup in the hand of the woman being of the most precious metal, and as she is decked with the gold and precious stone, it denotes a most overwhelming temptation, fully realized in a miracle working power by the false prophet and Satan himself. Her cup books contains false doctrines, and being golden, it shows that they are plated with Christianity. Thus the following prophetic word shall meet their fulfillment. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13:15-17. Such will be the experiences of the Yahweh's people in their final struggle with the powers of evil. Satan leads many to believe that Yahweh will overlook their unfaithfulness in the minor affairs of life. But the Yahweh shows in his dealings with Jacob that he can in no wise sanction or tolerate evil. All who endeavor to excuse or conceal their sins and permits them to remain upon the books of heaven, unconfessed and unforgiven, will be overcome by Satan. Patriarchs and Prophets. Page 202. Those who are without a Yahweh's protection will find no safety in any place or position. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 8, page 50. Of that troublous time, said Yahshua, he that findeth his life to gain the favor of men shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 10:39. That time shall reveal him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. Then shall the world be divided into two great classes, the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Matthew 25:33. Apparently it will be seen that it will seem that the Elohim's people must either perish or yield unto the demands of the wicked. But mighty angels who excel in the strength will reverse the current of the destruction. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and of the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman or whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Revelation 18:21-23. While multitudes are falling into the snares of the devil, and as he is endeavoring to wipe out this congregation, the third angel's message breaks through with the mighty power and a loud cry, saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18:4. And as the cry of the angel messenger rings through the earth, a great multitude of all nations leave the false, the popular system of worship, and against all earthly favor, take their stand with the saints under the protection of the divine power. This will incur the wrath of the dragon. Summary. The following chart on page 150. I don't know. I don't see the chart here. It says follow chart on page 150. Well, that chart is the chart showing first the two horned beasts and the false prophet. It shows a woman sitting on the seven heads. Then it shows a woman sitting on the beast, and the seven heads are on the head of that beast. Then it shows the woman and the beast cast into a lake of fire. And then it shows the beast and the false prophet cast into a lake of fire. The two horned beast and the false prophet cast into a lake of fire. So the woman that's cast into a lake of fire, or burn, is sitting on that beast. But the beast and the false prophet represents the little two-horned beast. So they're two different beasts here. The woman is destroyed with the beast itself, and the false prophet is destroyed with the two-horned beast. Okay, then it shows the 144,000, or the saints, streaming in to meet Yahshua coming in the clouds of heaven with all the angels with him. Then it shows after that, it shows the end of the world. And it shows where those beasts that didn't get destroyed with the mark of the beast, with the image of the beast, it showed that they were killed at the end of the plague, at the end of the very end of the world, in a lake of fire. Okay, it says that on page 160, Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, we're dealing with this summary. So the tabulation of events in this chapter fully illustrates the great prophetic occurrences that are to transpire in the rapid succession as shown in the chart. The union of the churches, represented by the woman sitting on the heads, must take place before the combined power of the beast and the false prophet is fully realized. The symbols, false prophet and the beast, reveal that there shall be a national alliance of church and state. Now, this is when the woman is sitting upon just the heads. But the woman riding on the beast denotes an international system of church and state, enforced by the civil law and miraculous power. At the close of probation, the union, represented by the symbol of the scarlet colored beast, shall be dissolved with the destruction of the woman or head of that union as pictured at the turning point of the chart. The world is at that time, as represented by the horns of the beast, shall hate the harlot, dethrone her, and burn her with fire, which can be nothing less than by the revolution against the head of that religio-political system. Then the prophecy of Revelation 16:19 will meet its fulfillment. And the great city Babylon was divided into three parts. That is, the union of the Protestantism, Catholicism, and spiritualism was dissolved. Note the verb was, which is it's an adverb. V.T. Hollis, he says it's a verb. A verb is something you use in the present tense form, but a past tense verb is called an adverb. Being in the past tense shows that the great city Babylon before the seven plagues were poured out. Great city Babylon was divided before the seven plagues were poured out, and that is at the close of probation. Okay, It says, when the woman arose the throne, and the cities of the nations fell in a great battle, and her divided state came in remembrance before Yahweh, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Revelation 16:19. Last part. The fierceness of the Yahweh's wrath is poured out upon Babylon and her divided state in the time of the seventh plague. So, but the seven last plagues are poured out after probation closes. And V.T.R., he doesn't actually state it that way, but that's the way I believe it, from the weight of evidence that I have had so far. For the head of the nondescript beast of the Daniel 7 and the burning fire with the woman, as depicted in the chart, represents the same event. The beast is a prophecy, and the woman is the revelation of that prophecy. Then the four angels of Revelation 7, who were holding the four winds of the earth, the nations in check, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, shall let the wind blow, and as there would remain nothing to hold the nations and peoples together and to restrain hostility, the conflict within and without will result in the final battle of the Armageddon, Revelation 16:14-16. From that point of the chart, close of the probation, to the second coming of the Yahshua and the beginning of the millennium, there will be 15 months, a season, and a time. Daniel 7:11-12. At about the time of the seventh plague, the beast and the false prophet will be cast to the lake of fire. A little fulfillment, and the same will become a type of the final destruction of the wicked after the millennium, which is the second death. For the destruction of the woman riding on the scarlet colored beast and the false prophet, with the two horned beast being cast alive in the lake of fire, denotes that this religio-political system will be internationally dissolved. At the appearance of the Yahshua, the saints shall be gathered, Matthew 24:30, and the wicked destroyed, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. The nations are represented by the beast, the man of sin by the little horn, having eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, Daniel 7:25. Now, B.T. Hollis calls the man of sin the little horn that represents the Pope. So the great image of Daniel 2 corresponds with the beast of the Daniel 7. These beasts are also represented by the leopard-like beast of the Revelation 13. The mouth of a lion, feet of a bear, body of a leopard, and the ten horns. The scarlet-colored beast of Revelation 17 is a continuation of the leopard-like after his deadly wound is healed. Thus, he is pictured on the chart showing that he has the characteristics of all the beasts before him. Therefore, the destruction of the beast of the Daniel 7 is also the destruction of the beasts that were shown unto John in the vision, and the end of all the beasts being the end of the world. Feet is a symbol of the coming of Yahshua, and the breaking of the image denotes the breaking of the nation. As the scarlet-colored beast brings this present world to an end, he also represents the world on the other side of the millennium after the second resurrection. The fire coming down out of heaven upon the beast denotes the second death of the wicked, 100 years after the second resurrection. In the prophecy of Enoch shall meet its complete fulfillment. Behold, the Yahshua cometh, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are unrighteous of all their unrighteous deeds, which they have unrighteously committed, and of all their hard speeches, which the unrighteous sinners have spoken against him. Jude 14:15. While the 14th verse of Jude applies unto Yeshua's coming to the most holy apartment in the heavenly sanctuary, in the 15th verse to his second advent, the completeness of the words find their fulfillment after the millennium. For at that time only can he execute the final judgment upon all the unrighteous, from Cain unto the end of this present world. First part of the chart dated 1929 to the curve marked Ezekiel 9 is the period in which 144,000 are sealed. For the separation of the tares from the wheat, purification of the congregation as the 144,000, are the first fruits, the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9 and the seating of the servants of Yahweh. 144,000 marks the commencement of the final harvest, or as it is also called, the loud cry. At that time, the great multitude of Revelation 7-9 will be gathered in the congregation by the servants of Yahweh. 144,000, see Isaiah 6:6, 19 and 20. The case of all who are sealed from 1929 to the final close of the probation will be investigated before the throne in the heavenly sanctuary while living, for the investigation commences after the fulfillment of the Ezekiel 9. Those who are sealed from 1929 unto the fulfillment of the Ezekiel 9 close of probation for the congregation are living saints, 144,000 in number, who shall never die, translated without tasting death. The class which neglected their opportunity were left without the seal to perish under the ruin of Ezekiel 9, Isaiah 63 and Isaiah 66:15-17. This example of the destruction of the sinners and the congregation is a type of the destruction of the sinners in the world after the close of probation. The great multitude of Revelation 7-9 living at the time of the close of probation for the world shall also never die, of whom the 144,000 were a type. But all the wicked being left without the seal shall perish. Hitherto is the end of the matter. Fear Yahweh, not man, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Okay, that's the end of who is the beast. Let's go now in the 144,000, Revelation 7:14, page 163. The ground of this most vital subject has been extensively covered in the Shepherd Rod Volume 1. Therefore, we intend to bring out only that phase which does not appear in the first volume. The following questions will be answered in this chapter. At the time that the Yahweh commands the angels seal them, the 144,000, are they found by that message in the world or in the congregation? At what time are they sealed? Why are they virgins? Why is there no God in their mouth? Are they men only or of both sexes? Why are they called servants of the Yahweh? Why are they Israel? We quote from the writings of the Spirit of Prophecy, this was the time of Jacob's trouble. Then all the saints cried out with anguish of spirit, and were delivered by the voice of Yahweh. The 144,000 triumphed. Their faces were lighted up with the glory of Yahweh. Life Sketches, page 117. Note that the 144,000 in number were present in the time of Jacob's trouble. Okay. So the time of Jacob's trouble is his trouble with his brother. Jacob represents the 144,000. That's the reason why they have to be present in the time of Jacob's trouble. And Esau, us, the ones that we just left behind in Kermit, are those that are of the house of Edom, not of the house of Jacob. Their brothers to Jacob are all right, but so apparently when the 144,000 comes forth, it's going to be a warfare. It's going to be a warfare. There's going to be a face-off between Esau and Jacob, because when Jacob is on his way back to the Promised Land, after having been exiled for 20 years to his uncle's place, he went into another land, Mesopotamia, and he got him 4 wives and 12 sons and many servants and a lot of animals in 20 years. And on his way back home, he had trouble with his brother, Esau. Esau come to meet him to keep him from coming back to the land of Israel. And so therefore, that was the time of Jacob's trouble on his way back home. But Jacob's trouble was up really until the time he wrestled with the angel. And after he wrestled with the angel, he had calm and peace. And he had not yet met his brother Esau. But when he made his brother Esau, after he had that wrestling match with the angel all night and got the victory and got pardon of all his past sins and was given the promise that his brother would make peace with him. And so therefore, Jacob's trouble was on his way back home. Same thing with us. We're here in the wilderness of the people of the United States. Our trouble is before we get back to the land of Israel, our homeland, that we will have trouble with the Adventist church, because we've got to extricate 144,000 from her midst. That will be done by the Spirit. This stone hewn out of the mountain without hands strikes the image on the feet and grows the mountain and fills the whole earth. But I'll tell you one thing, if we represent a little stone hewn out of the mountain without hands, what do you think about the 144,000? They're the ones that are really hewn out of the mountain without hands, the Adventist church. And they're the ones that are empowered to strike the image on the feet and grow into a mountain and fill the whole earth. So we've got new light on this, folks. It's this little stone hewn out of the mountain without hands is a hewn out of the 144,000. According to the following quotation, that time of trouble commences immediately after the close of probation. No, that's a false statement, you see. According to the following quotation, it said that trouble commences immediately after the close of probation. No, Jacob's trouble is long before probation closes. Let's go ahead. When Yahshua shall cease his work as mediator in man's behalf, then this time of the trouble will begin. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 201. That time of trouble is before any of the sleeping saints are resurrected. Therefore, the 144,000 are not resurrected, but are living saints who have never tasted death and are to be translated at the second coming of the Yahshua. 144,000 sealed while in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. To make this clear, we must comment on the typical Day of the Atonement. That notable day in the ceremonial system was the Day of the Cleansing, Judgment, and Covering. The command was given that in the seventh month and on the tenth day of the month, Day of the Atonement, every Israelite was to afflict his soul, confess his sin, and bring a sacrifice. He who failed to respond to the divine call was cut off, perished from among the people. Therefore it was a day of the judgment and purification of the camp of Israel. While the sinner perished, the righteous were preserved. This living example was set forth for our benefit. At this present time upon whom the antitypical day of the atonement is come, this picture in the earthly tabernacle is intended to point out the work in the heavenly. When the judgment opened in 1844, as previously explained, the investigation began with the dead. And when that part of the work is finished, then commences the judgment of the living. While the investigation of the congregation of the dead is in progress, there can be no separation among the congregation of the living. But when our high priest shall begin the atonement for the living, there must be a message of the present truth, sounding of the trumpet, urging everyone to lay hold on the Lamb of the Yahweh Yeshua, by which only can he in figure come to the sanctuary, confess his sin, and secure his life. Unless the close of the judgment for the dead and the commencement of the living be made known unto us, we would have no present truth while the judgment for the living is in session. Neither would such judgment be legal or just. He who fails to respond to the heavenly summons will be left without the seal or covering of Yahweh, and therefore must be cut off from among his people, as prefigured by the services in the typical day of the atonement. Says the apostle, for the time has come of judgments against the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, the fact that to the Seventh-day Adventist church alone has come just such a message as the one mentioned presented to them in the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, is an additional proof that this particular church is the house of Yahweh. This time of judgment is also called the time of harvest, that both grow together until the harvest, said the Yahshua. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 13:30. The words of our Master are in a perfect harmony with the typical day of the atonement, foretelling that it is a day of the separation of the tares from the wheat, or the cutting off of the unrepentant sinners from among Yahweh's people, purification of the church. Therefore, the harvest commences with the closing work for the church, said the Yahshua, that both grow together until the harvest. In Revelation 14:4, speaking of the 144,000, we read, they are the first fruits unto Yahweh and unto the Lamb. Therefore, it is evident that in the purification or separation of the tares from the wheat in the Adventist Church of the Yahweh, there shall be 144,000 who have confessed their sins and are thus made white and clean by the precious blood of Yahshua, for they are the first fruits. This is also proven by the spirit of prophecy, for we read, this sealing of the servants of Yahweh is the same that was shown unto Ezekiel in the vision, Testimonies to Ministers, page 445. We quote from Testimonies for the Congregation, volume 3, page 266. For the true people of Yahweh who have the spirit of the work of the Yahweh and the salvation of the souls at heart will ever view sin in its real sinful character. They will always be on the side of the faithful and plain dealing with the sins which easily beset the people of the Yahweh, especially in the closing work for the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the sitting time of the 144,000. Again, on page 267, mark this point with care. Those who receive the pure mark of the truth, wrought in them by the power of the Holy Spirit, represented by a mark by the man and linen, are those that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the Seventh-day Adventist congregation. Read the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. At the general slaughter of all those who do not thus see the wide contrast between sin and righteousness, and do not feel as those who stand in the council of Yahweh and receive the mark, is described in the order unto the five men with the slaughter weapon. Go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is a mark, and begin at my sanctuary. For the definition of general is extensive, but not universal. Therefore, it does not mean the destruction of the world at the appearance of the Yashir, but it has reference to the wicked in the Seventh-day Adventist congregation, the spiritual Israel of today. For this slaughter is literal. It is as for the separating and releasing of Yahweh's people from the sin and sinners. Otherwise, the marking would be of no value. The same subject is brought, as again brought to view in testimony for the congregation, volume 5, page 211. Here we see that the church, the Yahweh sanctuary, was the first to feel the stroke of the wrath of Yahweh. The wrath of the Elohim cannot and never has been spiritual. We are again reminded that the 144,000 are the remnant. Now indeed are the remnant. Men wondered at, in that day, shall the branch of the Yahweh be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Testimonies for the congregation, volume 5, page 476. Thus 144,000 are those who are sealed in the judgment for the congregation, and with them the judgment for the living command. Therefore they are the first fruits. When this number is sealed, probation will close for the Seventh-day Adventist congregation, and the judgment for those who are in the world will commence, as the terrorists perish at the time when probation is closing for the congregation. Just so at the close of the judgment for the world, the sinners shall come unto their end. The one and a figure is a figure of the other. It is stated 144,000. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Revelation 14:4. The women mentioned in this scripture are symbols of the impure churches. These women are brought to view in Revelation 17 under the figure of this woman. These women. Okay, are brought to view in Revelation 17 under the figure of the woman sitting on the scarlet-colored beast. We quote Revelation 17:5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. This mother and her daughters are the women with whom the 144,000 are not defiled, for the message that Stephen found them in the church. Thus being in the church of Yahweh, when sealed, they are virgins, not defiled with women, with fallen churches. Other than they weren't defiled with the false doctrines that were being taught in the Adventist church. They held on to the pure doctrine and were purified by it. Servants of Yahweh in the time of the harvest. In Revelation 7:3, the 144,000 are called the servants of our Elohim. His servants, and they must have duties to perform. They are again brought to view by the prophet Isaiah in connection with the purification of the church and the destruction of the wicked. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape, 144,000 of them, unto the nation. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh of all nations, in a clean vessel, into the house of Yahweh, the congregation, Isaiah, the purified congregation of the house of David. Isaiah 6:19-20. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Those that escaped the judgment of Ezekiel 9, Isaiah 4:2. Therefore the 144,000 are called servants. For further study of Isaiah 66, see Shepherd Rod, volume 1, page 165-172. It is also a side of this wonderful company, and in their mouth was found no God. And in their mouth was found no God, Revelation 14:5. This scripture makes clear that the gospel they proclaim is altogether the true word of Yahweh. Therefore, the message they present unto the world cannot be questioned as unto his purity. The prophet Patmos, after speaking of the sin 144,000, said, "At this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hands, Revelation 7:9. Therefore this great multitude is gathered from all nations as the closing work for the congregation, and in the time of the great harvest. The palms in their hands signify victory over the beast and his image, death and the grave. One of the elders before the throne said unto them, of them, these are they which came out of great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble." No, the great tribulation is not the time of Jacob's trouble. The 144,000 is what came out of the time of Jacob's trouble. For the great multitude, they came out of the tribulation they come out of is coming out of their nations from among the brethren that they were among that was against them. These are, for the servant of the Yahweh also bears witness in the following quotation: "And the heaven departed as a scroll, and it was rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Revelation 6:14-17. "At this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes, palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation unto our Elohim, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Revelation 7:9-17. In these scriptures, two parties are brought to view. One party permitted themselves to be deceived, and took sides with those with whom the Yahweh has a controversy. Testimony for the Church, Volume 9, page 267 and 268. As the Spirit of the Prophecy points out, these two companies, those who cried for the rocks and those with the palms, both living in the time of the great tribulation and the wrath of the Yahweh, it is evident that this great multitude with the palms in their hands are living saints, one unto the gospel in the time of the harvest by the work of the 144,000. This brings the close of our study. This is our contact. This is the 11th hour corner, number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. So the storm passes by. The dark of the midnight, the heart did not face. How the storm howled above me, and there's no hiding place. In the crash of the thunder, this is Yahweh, my trust. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Anytime Satan whispers, there is no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise, where the stars never darken the sky. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds
no farther from the start. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me shine in the presence on the bright and peaceful shore, in the land where the tempest never come yet may hide gravity. When the storm passes by, when the storm passes over, when the thunder sounds no more, when the clouds look forever from the sky, hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm.